Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Gimel. I apologize for missing yesterday's shiur. We've had a power outage here in Camp Keli. We still have the power outage, but we're on a generator here in the office. Hopefully this will work. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored Le'ilei Nishmas Meir Yosef Ben Avram Alav HaShalom. We've been learning the daf L'Zchus Rufus Shalema for Mary Yosef and Avram, and unfortunately his neshama went to Gadein et Shalmailin. He should have an Aliyas neshama through the zechus of our learning. So sponsored by his children and grandchildren. It's also sponsored by Karen and Mark E. Benson, commemorating the yahrzeit of Karen's grandmother, Esther Weiss, Esther Leah Bas Shmuel of Allah Shalom, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, the neshama should have an Aliyah. It's also sponsored anonymously in honor of the birthday of a friend, Dr. Brian Cardone, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. And it's also sponsored by Ben Kalish for Refuah Shleima, from Melech Yonah Ben Gittel, Shavar for Shleim, and also sponsored by a fellow member of the Daf Yomi Chevra, Le'ili Nishmas, Mayor Penstein, a devoted and proud member of our Daf Chevra, with whom we've had the privilege of learning virtually for many years, and also in honor of Mayor Penstein's son-in-law, Rabbi J.J. Hornblass, a devoted participant in and supporter of this year. We certainly are going to miss Mayor Penstein greatly. Always enjoy talking to him and learning whenever I would see him. So I'm sure the zechus of our learning should be in Aliyas Neshama. So again, today's daf is Kuf Nun Gimel. We're holding four lines from the bottom of the page on daf Kuf Nun Beis Amud Beis. We are at where at least that's where I'm going to pick up from. We are at Amalei Ahut Stuki at the end of the line, in the fourth line. So we're going to start by continuing to talk about inyanim relating to people, to dead people, and to hespedim, and then the Gemara is going to, we're going to Be'ez Hashem begin the final parak of Masechta Shabbos, and we're going to discuss what you supposed to do if you're carrying something when Shabbos starts, and you're not allowed to violate the Melacha of Hotzai, you're not allowed to keep carrying it, so what do you do with it? And then what do you, so the Mishnah is going to mention the possibility of giving it to a Nachri, so the Gemara is going to talk about, and what if there is no Nachri available, what's the next best option? Then the Gemara is going to talk about, what if nobody is available, and apparently there's a secret Halacha that they didn't want to publicize, but the Gemara is going to publicize it anyway, and talk about why they didn't want to publicize it, and then we're going to discuss at the end of the daf, the Isra of Mechamer, of having your animal do Malacha for you on Shabbos. So let's begin, four lines from the end of the page, Kuf Nun Beis, Amud Beis. Amalei Ut Stukili Rabbi Avo. A certain Stuki said to Rabbi Avo, Amrisu Nishmash Nishal Tzadikim Genuzas Tachas Kisei HaKavod. You say that the Nishamas of Tzadikim are hidden under the Kisei HaKavod. So, Ova Tamya, Heicha Aske L'Shmuel B'Negida. In the story in Shmuel Aleph, where that Balas Ov, that used the bones of Mesim in order to bring up Nishamas, how is she matzliach to bring up the neshama of Shmuel HaNavi using Ov, using this form of kishuf that the Navi tells us about, that Shaul HaMelech needed advice, he wanted to know what was going to happen, if he was going to be successful in Melchama, and he didn't really have many places to go, because after killing out Novi or Kohanim, Kohanim weren't really so interested in providing him with Eitza, so he didn't really have many places to go, so he went to this Balas Ov. So how did that Balas Ov manage to pull out the neshama? They don't have the ability to access that which is tachas kisei hakavod. So how can you say that the neshamas of tzaddikim are under the kisei hakavod? If that were true, then the balas ov would have had no access. Amalei hasam b'tok shneimas or chodesh havanah. The balas ov was able to do that within 12 months of Shmuel's death, because the neshama is not yet fully where it's going to be when you're still within the first 12 months. D'tanya kol shneimas or chodesh. The first 12 months after a person dies, gufo kayim, the body is still somewhat intact. V'nishmas, so Allah v'yaredas, and the neshama goes up to Shemayim and comes back down into Olam Hazeh. But la'achar shemas ha'chodesh ha'guf batal. After 12 months, the guf is no longer there, and by no longer being constrained by the guf, v'nishmaso Allah v'shaven yaredas, the neshama is able to go up to Shemayim, and it doesn't have to be yored at all anymore into this world. So she was able to access the neshama of Shmuel HaNavi within the first 12 months of Shmuel's petira, but not because she has access to that which which is beneath the Kisei HaKavod, but Rabbi Shmuel had not yet settled there because he was still going back and forth between Olam Hazeh and up in Shemayim. So it says the Gemara now about Hesped. Amar Rav Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Meshmei Derav. May Hespedo Shel Adam Niker Im Ben Olam Habahu Im Lav. From a person's Hesped, you could tell if he's a Ben Olam Haba or not. Rashi explains, because if he was an Adam Kasher, everyone's going to cry. They're all going to be Marid Maos. They're all going to be Mesaper B'Shivcho. They're going to talk about what a wonderful person he was. The Marsha explains that the Mesaper B'Shivcho Shel Adam, after he dies, you don't have to be Choshish that they're lying, because when you're talking about someone's great attributes and qualities while he's alive, you have to be choshesh that it's chanufa, that they're just trying to flatter him. But once he's dead, there's no sense in flattering him anymore. So you know from the hespedo, how do they talk about him after he dies? So if they talk about him in such glowing terms after he dies, then you know that that must be true. So it says Gemara, Eini, is that really so? Vamale Ravler of Shmuel Bar Shilas, Achim Behespedo, Dosam Kamina. So didn't Rav give instructions from Shmuel Bar Shilas that when you're maspid me after I go, then you should make sure to be ma'orer the rachmanus of the people who are listening and try to encourage them to cry, because I'm going to be standing right there and I'm going to hear every single word of the hesped. Why would Rav have to encourage that if it's automatic that if a person is an adam kasher, then you'll be able to tell from the hesped shel adam? Sounded like Rav had to engineer a proper hesped for himself, and otherwise it was not going to happen. Lo kasher says Rav, san stira had the mechamelu va'achim had the mechamelu va'achim. By an adam kasher, when a maspid does a proper job, then people are going to cry and they're going to be marid demaos. But the maspid still has to do a proper job, because sometimes a person dies and they're already of an advanced age, so people aren't going to naturally cry over someone who dies at a very advanced age. They're that's the way of life, and people are expecting it. And then people aren't going to question their own existence because the person is 20 years older than everybody else. No one's thinking about themselves when they see someone who's 120 years old who dies. But so it's not necessarily going to cause people to cry. That's why you need the maspid in order to be ma'orer those feelings. But an adam she'eno kasher, even when the maspid does a good job, no one's going to cry. No one's going to feel emotional about it. Amalei Abayi l'Rabbi k'gon mardi samalei kulu pumbedisai manach mespeda. So Abayi said to Rabbi, you who all the people in Pumbedisa can't stand, so who's going to make a proper aspid for you? Amalei mistaya at Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan. He says, at least I have two friends. I have you, and I have Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan to rely on. So even though most other people don't like me, at least I'll have a proper aspid from the two of you. Why in the world do people not like him? Because the people of Pumbedisa, Rashi writes, were in Maseches Chulin, were Ramaim. They were a deceitful people. They were Ganavim, and Rabbi used to be mochiach them all the time for their misdeeds. So people don't like to be told when they're doing something incorrect. So that's why the people in that town didn't appreciate him very much. The Gemara says at the end of Ksubas that a Talmud Chacham that is very beloved, and that people don't that people only have warm feelings toward is probably not doing his job. Meaning, part of his job is he's supposed to be mochiach people when they're doing something wrong, and it's always a little bit difficult when you're mochiach a person. They always feel a little bit insulted by it. So that's why he wasn't so beloved. It's interesting, the Gemara uses the term when Rav gave the instructions, make sure to give a good hesped for me, because Hasam Ka'imna, I'm going to be standing there. The Eitz Yosef and the Agaritas explains that when a tzaddik dies, he's an omed at a certain madrega. Normally the advantage of being in this world is that we are mahalchim. Omda means that you're standing in one place, you're not able to advance any further. So he's saying, Hasam Ka'imna, over there I'm going to be standing in place, and the only way to get me to continue to advance even after my death is if I have zuchuyos that continue to be generated in this world. So give a hesped that's going to inspire people to want to do more mitzvos and to want to generate more zuchuyos, and through that I'm not going to have to be omed in that world. This Gemara also plays a role in the discussion whether you have to listen to a person who says that he doesn't want a hesped. The person said leaves a tzava'a not to be maspidim. Do you have to listen to such a tzava'a. This is an old discussion in Poskim. In the Beis Yaakov, he writes, if Talmud Chacham Gadol is mitzavah shalol haspido, it could be that you don't listen to him, because the spedo shal Chacham is also kavod ha'chayim, not only kavod ha'meis. Meaning, even though it is kavod ha'meis, but it's also something that's for the kavod ha'chayim. So the way some of the achronim formulated it is that there's tzvei dinim in the hesped. There's giving kavod to the person who is no longer here, and there's also the requirement of the generation to recognize what the loss was, because we have to recognize greatness and we have to recognize the void of zechuyos that we now need to fill in. So that he can't be mochel. So to at least maybe the mora demaos part about his loss, so that he can be mochel. But the part about how we need to be ma'orer ourselves to fill in that void, that he does not have the capacity to be mochel. So there's a tshuva, and the tshuva me'ava. Tshuva me'ava is a talmid of the Nadav Yehuda. So in Chelek Aleph, Sim Kufay and Dalit, he discusses this, and he brings a raya that when a gadol ador says not to be maspidim, ain't shomen lo. What's the raya? Because Rav said in our sugya that make sure you give me a proper aspid. Now, why is he so makbid that they give him a proper aspid? You have to say that the reason is he didn't want other people to be punished on his account for being misatzel behespedo. Because the halacha is, if people are misatzel behespedo, the onesh is very, very great. And Rav didn't want other people to be punished because of failure to give him a proper aspid. We already learned the daf kuf mem test that kol shenana shachirim al yado. That if other people are punished on your account, so that's going to cost you. So Rav didn't want to not be allowed into mechitzas shel kadosh baruch hu because other people are not going to give him proper hasbid. So he said, "Don't be misatzel my hasbid." So says the tshuva me'ava. Isn't there another eitza to be misakin that? Wouldn't they not be punished for being misatzel by hasbedo shel chacham if Rav would just be mochel? If he would just say al taspiduni? Elamai says the tshuva me'ava that wasn't an option because Rav knew. He was the Gadol Ador, he was the Rav of Kol B'nai Agola, and as a result of that, since he was such an important person, that it wasn't possible for him to be Machal. Talmud Chacham Muflag, a Gadol Ador like that, not possible. People are going to have to give a Hesped anyway. The Tshuva Me'ava then quotes that his own Rebbe, the Nadav Yehuda, was maspid the Pnei Yeshua, even though the Pnei Yeshua Dafka left the Tzava not to be maspid him, but the Nadav Yehuda didn't listen. He was maspid him anyway, which is a great chiddush, because the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in Yaradeya that if someone says Al Taspiduni, you listen to him. You're not allowed to give a hesped. But the Nadav Yehuda felt that that's not true when you're dealing with the Gadol Adar, that when it's a matter of being maspid the Gadol Adar, then you have to do it anyway. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Bay minei Rabbi Elazar mei Rav. Rabbi Elazar asked Rav the following shayla. Ezu ben Olam Haba. What is a Ben Olam Haba? What is the mark of a Ben Olam Haba? So Amalei, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, V'aznecho tishma nadover me'acharecha le'mor, ze'a derech l'chuvo, kisa aminu v'chisas mi'ilu. That someone who hears the people who are at his levaya saying to go in the same path that this nifter went, that you should model your behavior after him, don't veer right or left, then you know that such a person is a Ben Olam Haba. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kol Shadas Rabbi Seinu Noche Emenu. That a Ben Olam Haba is anyone who the Das Rabbi Seinu is pleased with him. That what they hear about him, what they see by him, that they're pleased with his behavior. That's how you can tell if a person is a Ben Olam Haba. So it says the Gemara, the Pasuk says that when a person is Holich HaBeis Olamo V'savvu Bashuk HaSoftim, so Pasuk in Koheles, so B'nei Galila Amri in Galil, they used to say, Asei Dvarim Lefnei Mitascha, do things during your lifetime, Maisim Tovim, that after your death they're going to mention in your hesped. B'nei Yehuda Amri Asei Dvarim La'achar Mitascha. They would say the same advice, but they would formulate it differently. Not Lefnei Mitascha, but La'achar Mitascha. Do those things that they're going to mention in your hesped, La'achar Mitascha. V'lo Pligi, there's not a machlokas over here between the B'nei Galil and B'nei Yehuda. Mark Yasrei. The B'nei Galil spoke according to were following their minhag hamakom, that the person saying the hesped stands Lefnei Hamita, and the Minigan Yehuda was that the person saying the Hesped stands Achore Hamita, and from such a position, says the great Shevach of the Nifter. In the Anaf Yosef, he explains that this relates to giving tzedakah. Then in Galil, they wouldn't give so much tzedakah during their lifetimes, but they would always leave it Tzava'a to give much of their Yerusha to tzedakah. So that's why they said about the pasuk, a person who's who gives lifnei mitascha, whereas in Yehuda they would give in their lifetimes, but they wouldn't give la'achar misasam. So therefore, they explain the pasuk that you should give also la'achar misa, that it's appropriate that a person should do both give tzedakah while he's alive and also leave from his yerusha. So they would each highlight what was not typically done in their location. So you want to understand who is a very worthy person. It's someone who's makpid to give the tzedakah that other people in his community typically did not give. The Gemara Maseches Ksubos talks about how even though there is a halacha that a mevazveh al yivazveh yoser michomesh, a person is not allowed to give more than 20% of his money to tzedakah, the Gemara says that when a person is dying, he's allowed to leave more than 20% of his money to tzedakah, because the whole chashash of not being mevazveh yoser michomesh, it's a takana susha, Ksubos Dav Nun, the whole chashash is that shema ye'oni v'yitztarich lebrios, that the person might become poor and then he's going to need to collect tzedakah himself. Well, after he's already nifter, he's not going to need to collect tzedakah himself. And then in such a position, a person is allowed to give more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. But you see highlighted over there, not only the importance of giving tzedakah while the person is alive, but l'achar p'tiraso as well, that after the person dies, the tzedakah is going to be very helpful, even though you would think maybe not as helpful. Tzedakah tassel mimavis, it's already too late for this person. But no, the gevaldik zechus of tzedakah is going to help him after his patira as well. Tanan Nasan, we have a Mishnah. Novus Rabbi Nasan Rabbi Lazar Omer, Shuv Yom Echol Vnei Misaskar. Rabbi Lazar advises everyone, do tshuva one day before you die. So Shal Talmid of Rabbi Lazar, V'chiyadam Yodea Ezu Yom Yomos, a person has any idea what day he's going to die to know what day to do tshuva? Amar Lahem, Kol Shekein Yoshva Yom, Shem Yomos L'Machar. Exactly! You should do tshuva every single day because you never know. Could be tomorrow's the day you're going to die, so do tshuva today. V'nimtza Kol Yomah B'tshuva, and then you're going to live the most fulfilled life. You'll be doing tshuva every single day of your life. V'av Shlomo, and Shlomo Melech said in Koheles, "V'chol eisyu begadecha levanim b'shemen al roshcha al yechsar." Your clothing should always be white, and you should never lack oil on your head. Meaning, a person should always be prepared, should always look good. His neshama should always look good and be ready to go to Shemayim. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh, Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh gave a mashal. Mashal the Melech shezimin his avadim l'suuda, v'lo kavalem zman. A Melech invited his avadim to a suuda, but he didn't tell him when the suuda is going to be. He just said, "I'm going to be making a suuda at some point. Be ready." So, pikchen sheben kishtu esatzman v'yashal pesach beis hamelech. The smarter avadim, they got themselves all dressed up in the nicest clothing, and they stood at the ready by the Pesach Beis HaMelech, waiting to be invited in. Amru klum chasol Beis HaMelech. They said, is the Melech lacking the ability to put something together quickly? He'll be able to put together a su'uda in a very short amount of time, and we're not going to be ready unless we're standing here at the ready, right? People used to think that in order to make a chasana, you need to prepare for months and months and months in order to make a chasana, and then Corona hit, and people discussed that you can make a chasana quicker than you make a bris, that in 4 days they put together a chasna. So the Beis HaMelech, for sure, you could put things together in no time. So Tipshin Sheben Holchul Melachton, but the Tipshin, the foolish people, they went off to work. So Amru Klum Yeshuda Belo Tareach. They said, it can't be that it's just going to happen unexpectedly. There's going to be some warning, because to prepare a Suda, it's going to take some time. So we'll have plenty of time to shower and to shave and to get dressed nicely and to look nice. But Pitom Bikesh HaMelech HaSavadav, and then right away, suddenly, the king says, okay, doors are open, soon to starting. So the Pikchin, they were all ready. But the Tipshin were not ready, and they came in all dirty to the king. And the Melech was very happy with the Pikchin, but he was very unhappy with the Tipshin. The Iyun Yaakov points out, the Nimshal is that the Tipshin thought that they're going to definitely have warning. What does that mean? What's the Nimshal? That people think before they die, they're going to have warning that they're going to get sick and they'll have time to do tshuva and they'll have time to get their affairs in order. And sometimes yes, but sometimes no. Sometimes it happens without any warning. Sometimes a person does not become ill, and if they're not prepared, it's going to be that much more difficult. So Amar, so the king said, "Halalu shekishtu Hakdamas Atzman L'Suda, Yeshu V'yoklu V'yishtu, those who prepared themselves for the Suda, good, let them sit and eat and drink, let them enjoy. Halal L'Shalok Yishtu Atzman L'Suda, Yamdu V'yiru, those who did not prepare themselves for the Suda are just going to have to watch how the Pikkim are sitting there and eating, and they're going to have to be jealous of the Pikkim. They're going to see what they could have done. They could have been sitting at the table, but they're not sitting at the table simply because they didn't prepare properly. So that's the Nimshal of the Olam Emes, that apparently the Tipshim who don't prepare properly for the Olam Emes are not only that they're not going to enjoy the benefits of it, but they're going to have to watch others reap the benefits, and others who they had the same opportunities that these other people had, and they just didn't take advantage of those opportunities. So the Tzaddikim are going to be sitting, and the Rishayim are Yamdu V'yiru, they're going to have to stand there and watch. Sfasemis explains within Rashi's explanation that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Le'olam Haba. So what's going on over here? How come the Tipshim sounds like they're on the outs? They don't have a Chelek? So he says, you have to say we're talking about the Rasham Gemurim that have no Chelek Le'olam Haba. Furthermore, says Sfasemis, Lule Divrei Rashi, he says, it could be that it's, over here it's not talking about the Olam Haba, Achar Tchias HaMeisim, the constant status up in Shemayim, La'achar HaMisa. Meaning Olam Haba means two different things. Sometimes Olam Haba means what goes on after a person dies, and sometimes Olam Haba means the world as a whole after Tchias HaMeisim. Chasanus Rameir Mishum Rameir Amar Rameir son of the name Rameir. Now you can't say that the Tipshin are standing there and watching Afhein Nirin Kemishamshin, because then they look like they're just waiters at the Suuda. That's not such a big busha. The busha for the Tipshin has to be much, much greater. Ela Elu Ve'elu Yoshvin Halalu Ochlin Valalu Re'evin. Everyone gets to sit at the table, but the Pichim are eating and the Tipshin are starving. Halalu Shosin Valalu Tzmeim. The Pichim are drinking and the Tipshin are thirsty. And that's how you recognize the busha of the Tipshim Shenemra. The pasuk says when the Navi tells the Rishayim their onesh in Olam Haba as opposed to the schar of the tzaddikim. As opposed to the schar of the tzaddikim, Komar Hashem, Hine Avada Yochelu Vatem Tirevu, Hine Avada Yishtu Vatem Titzmu. My Avadim are going to eat and drink, but the rest of you are going to be starving and thirsty. So Hine Avada Yeronu Mitovlev Vatem Titzaku Mikavlev. And therefore, my Avadim are going to be celebrating and they're going to be able to sing, but the rest of you are going to be groaning from a broken heart of what could have been and what you were unable to accomplish. Davar acher, another explanation. B'chaleis yu b'gadech levanim elu tzitzis. It's not talking about the Olam Emes. B'chaleis yu b'gadech levanim is referring to tzitzis that a person wears. A person is supposed to wear white tzitzis, apparently. So v'shemen al roshcha al yechzar elu tefillin, and shemen al roshcha al yechzar is a reference to tefillin because the pasuk says tov shem mi shemen tov, and the Gemara Maseches Brachos by the pasuk v'ro kalam yaretz ki. Shame Hashem, Nikra Lecha V'yaru Mimeka, that the Shame Hashem is Elu Tefillin Sheberosh. So since the Shame is better than Shemen, so we see that when we say that V'Shemen Al Roshcha Al Yechzar, that's a reference to Tefillin, that Tefillin Shel Rosh, which is the Shame that's even better than Shemen. So the pasuk is telling us that a person should always have tzitzis and Tefillin, he should always be surrounded by mitzvos, and that's what it's about. It's not about the preparing for the Olam HaEmes. Now the implication is that tzitzis are always supposed to be white. The Bach writes that in Or HaChaim Siman Chav Dalet that the reason the beged has to be white, the beged of Atalus has to be white, is based on what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayim Vayavar Hashem Al Panav Vayikra Shenisatif Hakadosh Baruch Hu Betaliso. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a talis kaviyachol, and the pasuk says in Daniel Perek Zayin Levushei Ketelek that Hashem's clothing is like white snow. So if Hashem wears a talis, and we know Hashem's clothing is like white snow, says the Bach, put two and two together, a talis is supposed to be white. And that's the Bach says that that's a valid reason. He quotes it from others that say that way, and he says that that is a valid reason. And the Medrash Tehillim also says that Reb Shimon Yotzadik asked Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, and he said, how does Kodesh Baruch Hu create Ora? So Amalot Nisatif Betalis Levana V'hivik ha'olam me'oro. How did Hashem create light? He wrapped himself in a white talus, and the gleam, the shine, came off and lit up the whole world. And the Zohar HaKadosh has a similar passage. So Magen Avraham just points out that the Bach himself gives another reason that the talus has to be white, and that is that the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Yesh Omrim that you need to make the tzitzis the same color as the talus. And the Rama writes that the Ashkenazim are not knowing to make tzitzios of any other colors other than white, even on Begadim Tzivonim. So if you're going to fulfill both of those things, that the tzitzis strings are supposed to be the same color as the talus, and you follow Minhag Rama that tzitzis strings should always be white, so Mimele it's going to turn out that the Beged is always going to be white. So that's the other reason that's given why we're knowing to wear a white talus. Mishbura quotes both of these reasons, and then the Mishbura quotes from the Prima Gadim that the fact that the edge of the Beged often has another color on it, he says that's not Korea from the Ikara Beged. As long as the Ikara Beged is white, the Eliyahu Rabbah explains why is it that the edge of the Beged has a different color on it. That's a Zecher L'Tcheles. So that's why there's a blue stripe on the tzitzis. So frekt everybody, but wait a second, most Talesim now do not have a blue stripe, they have a black stripe. So no, that's based on the Shittas HaRambam. The Rambam writes in the second parak of Hilchos Tzitzis that the color of Tcheles is in some way black, that it's in some way reminiscent of the darkness of the color black, and that's why based on Shittas HaRambam people have black stripes on their talus, but still it's a fulfillment of having a white beged if the majority of the beged is in fact white, and that seems to be the Minhag Yisrael. Okay, Hadron Alach Shoel. Now we begin the 24th and final parak of Masechta Shabbos. Mishich Shich Baderech. If a person is traveling on Erev Shabbos and it's getting late and he has his wallet with all of his money, so he's not allowed to carry a dollar amos and Rosh Hashanah, so nosin kisa l'nachri. Give his wallet to a nachri, and the way Rashi understands that you do that mibod yom, you do that before Shabbos starts, so that you don't have to give it to him on Shabbos. That's what the Ritva writes as well. And the Ritva says if you forgot to give it mibod yom, you're not allowed to give it mishatech shach. However, the Rush disagrees with Rashi, and the Rush says no, nosin is kisa l'nachri means achar shatech shach. After it's already dark, after Shabbos has already begun, so machlokas rishonim, you give it to the nachri at some point. V'meini mo nachri, if you happen to not have a nachri with you, so manicho alechamar, you put your wallet on the donkey. Higia lechatzra chatzona. If a person is traveling on Erev Shabbos and he has a laden donkey and he got to the outer chatzer of the city and now he wants to unload the packages from the donkey, notel sakelim and yitolim b'Shabbos, so you can actually lift off the back of the donkey those kelim that are not mukta, v'shein nital on Shabbos, matir chavalim v'asak nofel me'aleim, and those kelim that are not nital on Shabbos that are mukta, you untie the ropes and the packages fall off on their own. But you don't take it biyadayim from the behema because they're mukta, so you're not allowed to do so. Okay, so says the Gemara, my time is shorter than the mace of kisei the nachri. Why in the world are you allowed to give your wallet to a nachri to carry for you on Shabbos? Isn't, after all, the way Rashi explains, the nachri your shaliach, and it's also to make the nachri your shaliach to do averos? I ain't shlichus l'goy. So the Sfasemis explains, yes, it's true, ain't shlichus l'goy, but nevertheless, Chabam Aser asking a nachri to do something and to send him to do your malachos that are aser to do on Shabbos. So that's how Rashi seems to understand that the isra of Amir la'akum is an isra of shlichus, that it's an isra of shliach l'dvar avera, that yesh shlichus l'goy l'chumra in this sense. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, or Rashi rather, Masechta Avodah Zarah and Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph gives another reason for Amir la'akum, and that's based on what we discussed recently, Mitzav Cheftzucha v'daber davar, and that's the standard explanation of Amir la'akum. This Rashi here tucked away, Shabbos Daf Kufnun Gimel, is like an important maramakum. It doesn't appear elsewhere. This Rashi that Amir la'akum is based on shlichus, so it's quite a chiddush, but it's tucked away over here in Shabbos Daf Kufnun Gimel. So Kimlu the Rabbanan, so the Gemara answers, the Rabbanan knew that Deina de Mamar Atzma al Lamona, that a person is not going to be able to hold himself back from saving his money. And Ilo Sharislein, if you don't allow him to bring Al Yedei Goy or Behema, Asilasi, Arbamos, Precious Ram. So we know what the alternative is going to be. He's not going to just leave his wallet on the street. He's going to come to carry it, Dal Ramos and Rosh Hashanah. So we had to be Mekel in order to Amir La'akum, in order to prevent him from doing Inisr Daraisa. Mishabura discusses, and what if you're in a place where the Isr to be Metaltal is Inisr Darabanan? Would we be Mekel to prevent him from doing Inisr Darabanan as well? So, you know, you could take that two ways. One is, if we're even willing to be Mekel on Inisr Daraisa, you know, to prevent him from doing an Isr Daraisa, so, well, actually, no. Meaning the assumption is that maybe we're only willing to allow him to do an Issa Drabbanan because we're trying to prevent an Issa Daraisa, but we're only trying to prevent an Issa Drabbanan. There's no great need, there's no great Tzorach to allow him to do an Issa Drabbanan. So Amar Rava, Dafka Kisa. Rava says it's only his wallet that they allow giving to a guy because he worked hard to make that money, so he's gonna have Rachmanis on it. He's gonna be very attached to it. So if we don't allow it, he's going to come to carry it. But if it's just something they didn't work for, it's just something that he found, we're not so choshesh that he's going to come to be metaltalit in Rosh Hasharabim. It was easy come, easy go. Right? So we're not so concerned that he's going to come to be metaltal in Rosh Hasharabim. The Rambam in Hilchah Shabbos, Perek Vav, Halacha Chaf Beis, the Rambam writes that a metziah, even though they're not matir you to give it to a nachri or to put it al gabe behema, but you could always be, you could always carry a pachos midal ramos until you get to your house. So the Rishonim are very bothered by that. The Ramban and the Ritva, they're all bothered by that. The Gemara we're going to see soon is going to say that you're not allowed to carry your wallet pachos midal ramos unless there's no nachri or chamar. So by a metziah, even to give to a nachri, they didn't allow it. Meaning if the first option is to give to an achri, you're putting your chamar, and only if you don't have those options do we go with the option of pachos midal ramos. So it's a significant b'di'evet. So you're going to tell me in a case where I'm not allowed to give it to an achri and I'm not allowed to put it on a chamar that I'm allowed to take a pachos midal ramos? That's a very great chiddush. That's very difficult to understand. So that's the reason all the rishonim disagree with that passage in the Rambam. So anyway, ask the Gemara pshita, isn't it a davar pashut that it's dafka by something that's like your wallet where you're attached to it? After all, kiso tanan, that's what it says in the Mishnah. So mal detem hu adin afilu metzia v'aydu katani kiso orcha demilz katani kamash mulad. Now I might have thought it applies to metzia as well. It only says kiso because that's the most common case. So kamash mulad, that no, it applies to it applies to only to things that you own and not to things that you just found. V'la amara nel d'lasi liyade avlasi liyade kikise dami. And this thing about metzia is only true if you have not yet taken possession of it. But once you've already taken possession of the metziah, then it's considered like yours. Once you have it, we assume that you developed an attachment to it. Igada amri, others say in a little differently, bay rava metziah ba liyadu mahu, kiven da asu liyadu kisedami, o dilma kiven da tarakba lav kisedami. That was a shayla that Rava asked. Do we assume that if you already picked up the metziah, do we treat that like a wallet that you already have a connection with? Or do we say, no, it was just a metziah, easy come, easy go, and we're not concerned that you're going to come to violate carrying. Eini manachri, if you don't have a nachri, so then you put it on a donkey. So it says Gemara, taima de eini manachri. Sounds like you can only put it on a donkey because you don't have a guy available. Ha yeshi manachri, the nachri avle. But a nachri is the better option if available. My taima, why is that a nachri is a better option than a chamar? So chamar atamitzuv al shvisaso, nachri atamitzuv al shvisaso. It's because you do have a mitzvah, you do have a requirement about the shvisa of a chamar. You have no such requirement about the shvisa of a nachri, and therefore it's better to give to a nachri. So says Gemara, okay, but what about the following situations? What if you have other choices? Chamar v'cheirishot v'katan. You can either put it on the chamar or give it to a cheirishot v'katan. A chamar manichle l'cheirishot v'katan. So a chamar manichle, you put it on the chamar. L'cheirishot v'katan lo yoyevle. Don't give it to the cheirishot v'katan. My taima, why not? Why is a chamar better than because Hani Adam, Hani Lav Adam. Cheresh Od V'Katan are humans. You're not allowed to take advantage of humans if you have the opportunity to have an animal take it for you. Okay, Cheresh V'Shota. What if your choices are either a Cheresh or a Shota? So then L'Shota, you give it to the Shota because he doesn't have any Das at all, and no one is going to learn to be Matir to give it to other people just because you gave it to a Shota. But a Cheresh has some Das. It's just Das Klusha. So even though we always refer to them in the same B'chad Amachta, Cheresh Shota V'Katan, like they're all the same, they're not all the same. A Shota is totally out of his mind, and a Cheresh has Das Klusha. He has some Das, but it's a weaker Das. If you have a person who's developmentally disabled, people make the mistake, they categorize them as a Shota. It's not true. As a din of a Cheresh, a person who definitely has some level of Das, but it's a Das Klusha. Shota means a person who's deranged, who's insane, who's out of their mind, and therefore has zero functionality but because of derangement. So Shota V'Katan, if you have an opportunity either to give to a Shota or to a Katan, the Shota also give to a Shota. The Katan is going to remember when he gets older. So there's a chashash that he might do it when he gets older as well. He might carry things when he gets older as well. So Yibayilu, Cheresh V'Katan might. What if the choice is a Cheresh or Katan? So Ali, but the Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, lo tibayilach, there's no shaila, that certainly you give it to a Katan and not to a Cheresh, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, a Cheresh is a Safek Bardas, and he's chayiv in mitzvos misafek. Titanya Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Trumas Cheresh, if Cheresh is mafresh Truma, even though the peros do not become mutter, and the pikeach is going to have to be mafresh Truma again, lo teitze luchulin, you still have to treat that Truma with Kedusha, v'pneishu Suffolk, because the Cheresh is a Suffolk Bardas. The whole Shaila is, what about according to the Chacham that hold that a Cheresh is not Taitot Tzlula and he's Pater Mitzvahs the same way a Katan is? So then what do you do? Cheresh or a Katan? Titnan, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Trumos, Chamisha lo yutromu v'im tarmu, ain't Trumas and Truma. There are five people that if they take Truma, it doesn't even count as Truma, it doesn't even have a shame Truma in it at all. Eluhain, and they are Cheresh, Shota, v'Katan, v'atorim eshenu shalom, v'naprishatoram, eshal Yisrael afilu b'rishu. So ein truma so truma. In all those cases, including both the cheresh and the katan, the truma is not valid truma. So now, according to the chamim, my the cheresh yavlei the katan asi l'chal das. Do you give it to the cheresh because the katan one day is going to be a bar das? Or the katan yavlei the cheresh asi l'chlufi begadu b'keach? Or maybe better to give it to the katan because if someone sees you giving it to a cheresh, or even you yourself giving it to a cheresh, you might confuse that with giving it to a gadol. Giving it to an adult, so maybe that's why it's different. Even though the Achronim raised the Rishonim raised a question, Tosfos raised a question: why by a Shota and a Katan didn't we say the same thing? That when you give it to a Shota, you have to be concerned. He looks like an adult, and therefore you might confuse that with giving it to an adult. So the Marsha explains: a Katan also has Das Klusha like a Cheresh, and therefore better to give it to a Shota that doesn't have any Das at all, rather than give it to a Katan or a Cheresh who has Das Klusha. The Bach says that a Shota, it's nicker to everybody that he's a Shota. No one's going to be Machlef Begadol. But a Cheresh, people might be Machlef. People might accidentally mistake a Cheresh for a regular Bardas. But no one's going to mistake a Shota for a regular Bardas. So anyway, so it says, Ikeda Amri, Le Cheresh Yavle, Ikeda Amri, Le Katan Yavle. Some say you give to the Cheresh, some say you give to the Katan. We have two different deals. So the Gemara leaves it as a Suffolk, and therefore the Rif and the Rush say, so you give it to Ezemem Shiirtza. If the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion, it means that neither one is definitively better than the other. So you give to whichever one it is that you want. And what if you have none of these options available to you? So my, then what? There is another option. The Chum just did not want to reveal what this other option is. The Sefer Chodesh HaAviv, one of the Achronim says, if the Chum didn't want to reveal it, why are we about to reveal it? So now the Chum didn't want it in the Mishnah because the Mishnayos, everyone knew Baal Peh. Everyone knew Mishnayos Baal Peh. Someone just sent me a link to a video of Rav Moshe Feinstein, a 27-minute video with Rav Moshe sitting with a class of children. And at the end, the boys each got up and said Mishnayos Baal Peh to Rav Moshe, and he sat there patiently smiling. It makes you cry when you see videos of Rav Moshe. You see an Adam Domel, the Malach Hashem Tzavakos. So anyway, but the people know, even little children, they know Mishnayos Baal Peh. So they don't want to include it in the Mishnah. So that didn't make it, but in the Gemara we could have it. So my acharasai. So what was the other? option, malicha pachas pachas mearba amos. You can carry it less than 4 amos at a time. Amaylo roz cham legalosa. Why didn't the cham want to reveal that? Mishum kavod elokim aster davar kavod malachim chakar davar. That you could hide certain things of Torah lekavod shemayim, but you can't hide divrei Torah for the sake of a person's own chashivos. Vacha may kavod elokim ika. Why is this a kavod shemayim? Demasi lasi arba amos rishus ram, because it could very easily lead a person to carry dalar amos rishus ram. Tanya Reb Lezer Omer Boba. The day that Hanani ben Chizkia, where they were gozer 18 gezeros, the day of the Shmona Asar Davar, which we discussed at the very beginning of the Masechta, and again linking the end of the Masechta to the beginning of the Masechta, God Shusa'a, they added to the midos, meaning they made a lot of siyagim l'Torah, and that caused a lot of people to avoid averos. Rabbi Shua Omer, Bobiyom Machkusa'a. No, they added so many gezeros, it became so overwhelming that it was counterproductive. That sometimes you make too many gezeros, and it doesn't prevent people from doing averos. Before they would have been better off leaving things the way they were. Tanya Mashal Rabbi Eliezer Madav Dome. The Mashal for Rabbi Eliezer who thought that this gezera was very worthwhile. So what's it like? Lekupa Mlei Kishunu Diluin. Adam Nosen Tocha Chardel V'Machazekes. If you have a basket full of larger fruits, so you could fill in with mustard seeds, and it will fill in. It will still work. Mashal Rabbi Yeshua Madav Dome. La Reva Mlei Advash. You have a basket or a bowl full of honey. As soon as you put in anything else, so the displacement of the honey is going to overflow. So you're not going to be able to retain things. So we said, if you don't have a nachri, put it on a donkey. That it's mechamer. It's a violation of an iser. No, put it on the donkey as it's already walking, and therefore it's not doing an akira and a hanacha. But even the donkey is going to stop at some point to relieve itself. The ikakira v'anacha, and then when it continues walking, there's going to be an akira and anacha. So kshimalechas manicho aleh, kshiomedes noto emena. No, when the donkey is going, that's when you put it on as it's going. And if you see the donkey is about to stop, take it off the donkey before it stops. Iyachi afilu chaveru nami. Can't you do the same thing with a human being? Why do you need a donkey for that? So my papa kol shabegufo chayev chatos bechaveru pater avalaser. Any malacha that if you were to do on your own, you'd be chayev chatos. To do it on somebody else is asr midrabanan. So if you would do that on your own, you'd be chayev if you picked it up as you were walking, because you're picking up the object by hand, and the chamdu would not allow such a thing even on chavero. But kol shechavero patra v'lasser, anything that would be patra v'lasser for chavero, so b'chamoro mutal l'chachila, for your chamar, you're even allowed to do l'chachila. Amar avad barava ha'isa chavilasa munachsa al ksefo. If a person has a bundle on his shoulders, rutz tachtel, could just run with it atcha megia l'beiso, until he gets home. Dafka rots, avu kali kali lo. You have to run. You can't walk slowly. My timer. Why do you have to run? Given the lesley akira, asi the mevet akira v'anacha. Because if you're just walking normally, you might come to do an akira and a anacha. Sof kimata lebeisa yef shadlo kai porta. But still, when he gets home, he's going to have to stop for a little bit before he walks into the house. And then v'kamayim l'shusram l'shusiyachin. And then it's going to be an akira and l'shusram anacha in l'shusiyachin. No, dezarek lekalachiyad. He just throws it off of his back when he gets into his chatzar, and therefore you don't have a normal akira v'anacha as he's walking on Erev Shabbos, and he realizes Shabbos is about to come and he has the bundle on his shoulders. He should just run for it and get to his chatzar and then just chuck it off of his shoulders when he gets to his chatzar. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow I'll be back, hopefully with power at my house, and we're going to do it from shul. Hopefully we'll try that again. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Be'ez Hashem, toward the bottom of the page, tomorrow. See everyone tomorrow. Have a great day.